will be thinking of the great event that transpired the night when our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, entered humanity and lived among us so that we could go and live with God someday. If Jesus Christ had not become human and entered humanity, we could not even think about the possibility of going to heaven and being with God for all eternity. And what a tremendous gift and blessing that is to each of us. Of course, the days before Christmas are pretty crazy times, we might say. All of the planning, the running, the shopping, the writing, cooking, all in preparation for Christmas, and it can leave us a little bit weary, can't it? For some, they can be so weary by the time Christmas comes, there's hardly any energy to sing all those great Christmas carols with all those high notes. You ever notice that? How many of the Christmas carols have really high notes? It gets harder as you get older to do that. And of course, when we think of the Christmas rush, for some, if you're not ready yet, I hope everybody here is ready. By now, it would be the Christmas panic. Because if you haven't picked the gift for your wife. Oh, man, I was going to look at an Old Testament passage. If you haven't picked the gift for your wife, the only place you're going to find it now is probably going to be in Cleveland. So forget that now and just love on your wife if you haven't done that yet. But you know, our busyness a lot of times in searching for just the perfect gift for our loved ones can actually distract us at times, can't it, from what we really want to try to remember. Of course, the truth is there's a lot of things that distract us from thinking about the Lord. There's a lot of things, even those of us who belong to Him, there's so many things that call for our attention. But it just seems at Christmas time, there's all these added things that often vie for our attention that keep us from seeking Him. And we're going to talk about a group of people that sought Him in the midst of their own busyness in life. The truth is, I'm one of those people. And I hate to confess it, and I hope I'm not the only one. But I can let life get so busy that I forget to go to Him and spend time with Him. It happens easily. It happens without even realizing it at times because we feel there's so many other important things that we have to do. We forget how important it is, not only for us, but to God, that we go to Him and we spend time with Him and we talk to Him and we seek His face. God is pleased when we do that. And I know above all things, as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to please Him. It might be hard to imagine. Joni and I were thankful we have the privilege of serving full time in ministry. But you know that even ministry, the busyness of ministry, can distract you from that which is most precious. You can be reading His Word. You can be studying His Word. You can be preparing to minister His Word. But we forget that there is a written Word and a living Word. And we need to know the written Word in order to better know the living Word. But we need to spend time talking to the living Word. He has spoken to us. We need to talk back to Him. You know, with all of the plans that we make, and then we hope and pray that by the time Christmas gets here, they're all going to turn out. One thing we can be sure of is that God did not forget any of the details of or the people that were involved in that first Christmas. I probably wouldn't even have to tell you what chapter to turn to because we've already mentioned it several times this morning. But let's look at Acts chapter 2 together. And it's always a little intimidating when you take a passage that is so well known. Some of our children could probably recite large portions of this passage by heart. But you know, sometimes familiarity causes us to miss some important truths. How many times we've asked someone to recite John 3:16? And the thought, I think that the person reciting it thinks, oh, this is a speed reading contest. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've done it yourself, maybe not. A lot of times, kids in their eagerness, they'll repeat John 3:16 so fast it kind of loses its significance. Well, that happens with those stories that are most well known to us. You see, God didn't leave any details to chance. There is no chance with God, because God is sovereign over all things. The plans that he made for the very first Christmas, the coming of Christ, they began before the world was made. And they spanned for centuries, using all different people and events, all culminating in this special moment in history. You know, it's interesting when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. This was the one thing that was new under the sun. God coming to earth, taking the form of a man. That would be the one thing which Solomon would not have recognized at that time, because he had not done that before. God becoming human. What a wonderful gift that is. But we know also that God's plans for Christmas did not end at Christmas, and neither should ours, of course, because his plans go on and has gone on through the centuries. And that gift that he offered to us when Christ first came, and when Christ lived the perfect life we couldn't, and when he died the death that we deserved, and when he rose from the dead, that gift that he has given to people goes on and has gone on through the centuries. And because of that, each one here who will say, I am a child of God, has received that gift. And what a precious gift that is. See, the first Christmas was not so much about presents and parties, but about the Lord Jesus Christ and about his coming to earth and people coming to him. People coming to him. That's right. People coming to Christ. People are important to God. They're important enough that he would send from the glories of heaven his only begotten Son. Well, today, while we're looking at this rushing to Christ, we want to look at rushing to Christ, going to Christ. When you look up the word rush, it talks about moving in a direction urgently. And we're going to see that with a group of people as we read through this this passage. Several years ago, I had prepared three messages on this on Luke chapter 2. One had to do with the rush of history, how all of the promises and events of history were coming together to culminate at this point, and how everything had to be prepared meticulously for God's plan to work out. And it was going to happen. We know that, because God was going to make it happen. And then we looked at the angels, and we called that the rush of heaven. Angels coming with this seemingly and great anticipation of telling the news to these first but very humble audience, the shepherds. But isn't do you get that feeling after the initial announcement was made to the shepherds that there's like this explosion where a bunch of angels are there all of a sudden and they're singing this praise to God as though they couldn't hold it back? Wow, what a wonder that must have been. And then, of course, we think of the shepherds. And today, as we're looking at the rush of these shepherds to the Lord, we want to recognize that these shepherds are not just characters in a sweet story. They are human beings. They're people like you and like me, people that God cared for enough to point them to Jesus. They were people who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that however shepherds were considered in those days, we know there's a lot that we can learn from these guys. And God put it in his word so that we could see it and say, Lord, teach me, help me to have the eagerness to come to you that these shepherds had. This has always been God's desire, that people would seek him. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told them. This particular passage is one that I think that we need to learn from and to know what is most important to the Lord. Let's see if I have this right. I don't think I do. All right. You know something? I'm going back to this. I'm going to forget all about this. Some of you old timers here, you'll probably say, "Good." I can't quite get it to work right here. There. All right. Let's think about those that we have seen in this picture, in this story already. Now, mind you, this is history. In the earlier part of chapter 2, God was had Luke put down some exact details of the time, the exact time in history that it took place. This is history. I know I don't have to convince any of you of that, but as we go through the Christmas accounts and we see the Precious Moments dolls and all these other things, it's easy to forget these are real people in real time in a real place. And because they're people, we've got a lot in common with them. People that even if they said they loved the Lord, were easily distracted from him. Let's look at these shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. These men lived during difficult times. There may be some here who have lived during some very difficult times in our history. But these shepherds, they were hardworking people trying to make a living. They were living in a country that had been occupied by the Romans. That's never a pleasant thing. It's something that is not only humiliating, but dangerous as well. So the times were dangerous because they never really knew what this government who was ruling over them was going to do. So there's a certain amount of uncertainty. The shepherds themselves were considered one of the lower scale jobs. Now, I know there's all kinds of things written and talks about them being outcasts and things like that. I can't say that everybody felt that way, but they were definitely considered a lower caste job. Think in your mind a moment, whatever you think. There are jobs we have today that are not very well respected. Just kind of a shame, because some of those jobs that are not well respected are some jobs that are absolutely necessary to our society. And the same was true here. So at the best that they had it, they were considered in the lower classes. They were just trying to make a living, just struggling along. And the scripture says that they were out in the fields nearby. Nearby where? Nearby where Jesus was born. It had already set in the first few verses of the chapter, the location and the time. And what were they doing? They were doing their jobs, keeping watch over the flocks at night. I don't know if they had night shifts and day shifts and mid shifts, but if they did, they got stuck with the night shift. And some people like it, but I don't know, most don't. But they're out in the fields, they're just doing their job. Another day, another dollar. Have you ever felt that way yourself? Well, time to go to work again. I don't think they were expecting anything spectacular. Maybe they'd get a bonus or something. Not for Christmas, though. It hadn't happened yet. But they're just doing a job that people disrespected, one that really was no doubt not something that gave very good reimbursement, good wages. Their work was difficult. They would work long hours. Oftentimes they were separated from their families. Their work could be very dangerous. We know just from the accounts of David that at times he would have to fight off vicious animals. You know, you don't know if one of those are going to come up. So a good night would be staying up all night and nothing coming to attack one of the animals that you were responsible for. As I mentioned, the job was disrespected. There were some people that mistrusted shepherds. Many of the shepherds were sometimes considered unclean because their job required them to be away from the temple at times, and so they weren't able to go there for some of the ceremonial cleansings. So they lived in difficult times. They had a tough job. When they went to work that night, we have no indication that they were expecting anything special. But you know something? In so many ways, they're people like us. Aren't they? People don't think that much of any of us. In grief, does even the mayor of your town know you? Maybe they do. Maybe in your case they do. And there are some jobs which are more prestigious than others. But in the big picture, see what happens 50 years from now. You know, I love watching concerts of some of the great singers and done some study on some of the great singers. And if I mention somebody's name, anybody here know Beniamino Gigli? No? He wasn't Irish, you can tell that. In his day, he was one of the most famous singers of his time. And I could go through this list of these people that were really adored by many. Shouldn't have been, but they were. And yet, who remembers them now? Well, the shepherds were kind of the forgotten people by everyone, maybe, except for one, the one that counts, by God. They were part of God's creation. They were loved by God. They were like us in that they were sinners too. They were people that God had an important message for. And no matter how other people thought of them or didn't think of them, there were people that could be used by God. Isn't it interesting that this job, which was kind of on the bottom of the job prestige, that God took that term when he said he was the good shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And not only that, he's the Lamb. What a God would take. When God talks about coming into a humble estate, it wasn't just being born in a manger. He identifies himself with the most menial of jobs. The shepherds were people like us, confronted with problems, but they were confronted with a message from God because they went into work one night and had a surprise they would probably never have thought of in a million years. An angel comes and speaks to them. Now mind you, these shepherds were people that were very practical people. They were known for being practical people. They didn't have time or energy for flights of fancy. So if a shepherd said that they saw this angel, that was very unlikely that's something that they were just imagining. Because they were real practical people, like many of us. Sometimes our own practicality can get in the way of what God might be planning on doing in our lives. Maybe you can think of times where that's happened to you. But these ordinary people going to their ordinary job were surprised when God sent an emissary from heaven specifically to them. Not to the religious elite, not to the academic scholars, not to the royalty and those that reigned vast empires, but an emissary from heaven came to this group of ordinary men doing their ordinary job that night. What a shock that had to have been. And of course, when this angel appears to them, it says they were terrified. Now, mind you, these were not men that should easily have been terrified. Because a lot of times they would face some pretty vicious animals. Sometimes they could face some pretty vicious people trying to steal the flocks. These were men that we would probably consider brave men. Even if we didn't like their job, they were used to being at night with dangers all around them that could sneak up on them and do whatever. But this angel came, and it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Do you know, this is the reaction we see throughout Scripture when mere sinful human beings, no matter whether they are prophets or ordinary people like these guys, that is the natural response when people are confronted with holiness. The glory of the Lord shone round about them as this holy angel of God came to speak to them. They were terrified. This morning, Brother Paul was talking about Goliath. And I couldn't help but think as he was mentioning that, I said, you know, if you knew you had to go out to do a battle against someone and you were a warrior, you might say, okay, well, I've done that before, you know, I can take my chance. But suppose you were the warrior and you came out and there was an 11-foot guy there with a spearhead that was probably heavier than you could pick up. What would you think? These guys were horrified because they know what to do when a lion comes, when a pack of wolves or whatever other vermin they have out there comes. They knew what to do if burglars came. But what do you do with a person emanating the holiness of God, representing God comes? And it says they were terrified like nothing they had ever seen before. They didn't know what to do. And so immediately the angel, given this message by God, tells them, don't be afraid. You don't need to be frightened. Fear not. And you see this theme throughout the story. You don't need to be afraid. I am an emissary of God, but I am coming to you with good news of great joy that will be for all people. And then he goes and explains that today in history, something has happened, something unique, something amazing, something that was promised by God. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. No, I'm not an amen guy, but I think to that message, we can all say amen. It's a glorious message, and it excites us. And for these shepherds, I don't know how well versed they were, but they did know about the promise. I have no doubt about that. That was something that kind of went through the culture at the time, that one day God is going to send his Messiah, and he is going to rule and reign. And even if they had the wrong idea about it, they did understand that much of it. Even if these people, as many of us today, know the promises of Christ's return, believe that Christ is going to come and rapture his church, how easy it is from day to day to forget about it. Now, maybe these were particularly religious shepherds that went out and said, hey, Jacob, I wonder if the Lord's coming tonight, if the Messiah is going to be here. But somehow I don't think so. Have you ever thought about that yourself? How often do we think before we start our day? Maybe you do, and if you do, praise the Lord. You can help the rest of us by saying, today could be the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. I don't think that they were looking for the Messiah to be born, but they were being given this news that near them, fairly near them, the town of Bethlehem, he had been born. And then they're given instructions of how they can identify him. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And as soon as that description is given, we have that word suddenly. Suddenly, I picture an explosive scene where as soon as that's mentioned, all of these angels appear and they're singing in a loud voice, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You know, this whole section, there's so many great truths you could talk about, but that was the message and that was the response of the angels, just exploding with praise to God when they actually saw the Creator being born as a creature. It's something we can't understand. It's an amazing thing. But I think verse 15 is where I'd like us to just really sit. We could another time we can talk about the testimony. Last 2 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the witness or the testimony of some of the characters in Christmas. But let's just think about this a minute. The message is given. The shepherds heard it. They were comforted. They see this great sight of all these angels glorifying God and the good news that God is going to bring peace to earth for those who trust in Jesus Christ. But verse 15 is very interesting. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. As soon as the angel left, as soon as they received this message from God, as soon as they received God's word as delivered by the angels, what did they do? They talked about it afterwards and they said, God has told us this, let's go. Now, the angels didn't tell them to go. He assumed that they would. He says, you will find the child. And then they described in a manger wrapped in cloths. But they didn't have to be ordered. Thou shalt go to Bethlehem and search for this child. They decided, when they heard God's word, they responded to it in the way that God wanted them to. God has revealed this to us. Let's go see this thing that God has told us about. That's a sticky point for a lot of us. How many times have we read in God's word things that he definitely wanted us to pursue? Maybe for our lives, maybe even for our occupations, maybe in relationships. And we said, okay, well, I'll come back and read that later. Let's think about it some more. Let's discuss. The shepherds could have sat there and discussed, okay, who put the bad mushroom in the stew? Did this really happen? You know? They didn't. They knew it was from God. God made that very clear. And they responded. And it says, let's. I like that word, let's. Because as a group, they were supporting each other. In their job, they had to support each other. As shepherds, they had to watch over the flock. They probably had to check out different areas, make sure that the perimeter was clear. They had to work together in this. But in this decision, they supported each other. And they said, let's go, the group of us. Now, I don't know what they did at that point. I don't know if they gathered someone to watch the flock for them. Or if they said, hey, if God wants us to do this, he'll take care of the flock. No idea. But they made a decision. They resolved that they were going to leave their jobs at that point to do what God had them to do. And that's a tough thing. Down through history, we read of great, great Christians who were working ordinary jobs, and God spoke to their heart. And usually with the encouragement of other believers, not all the time, they went in a different direction, the direction God wanted them to go in. That pleases God so much. When we are willing, and we know that it's God, we have to make sure. That's one of the benefit of us being a body of believers. Because we believe or feel that God is moving us in a certain direction. I can talk to the elders here. I can talk to brothers and sisters here that might have some insight into this area or this place or wherever it is God might be sending. But these men, together, they talked about it. They made a group decision that they were going to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ, this baby. And God would have to supply for whatever they need for their livelihood. That's a tough decision, isn't it? Have you known people? I'll bet if I went around this room, each of you, or at least many of you, could tell me people that may have left a very lucrative business and said, I'm going to let God take care of my needs. I'm going to go and serve him. I'm going to go to where he wants me to be. And that is not an easy thing to do. And God knows it's not an easy thing to do. So they made this commitment. They put feet on their faith. We've heard the message from the angels. We believe it. Now, what do we need to do? We need to go and we need to seek him. And so here in verse 16 is where I get that idea of the rushing to Christ. So they hurried off and found Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, I won't look at the rest of this portion of scripture, though in the other passages it says they were filled with great joy and praising. I don't know if they had great joy and praising when they left for work that night. I really don't know. Do you always have great joy and praising when you head into work? All right, you don't have to admit it. Hey, even serving in ministry with a lot of Christian people, I don't always have great joy and praising when I have to go into some circumstances. But one thing we do know, because they heard God's message, they listened to it, they obeyed, they went. At the end of this section, it says that they were filled with great joy and praising. God desires us to seek after him today. Do you ever see that Christmas slogan, wise men still seek him? Well, the shepherds sought him. And we need to as well. There's a passage, and I had it here on my PowerPoint until I did something to it. I need these technological guys to figure that out. But in the book of Acts, turn to Acts 17 a minute. And in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul preaching to a group of people that were would consider themselves a scholarly elite. Verse 26 says, from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. You know, this is it's an amazing statement as it is, that God controls history. He controls the place where you live, the people that are around you. But why does he do this? Why does he take this time? God did this so that they would, what? Seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. What pleases God the most from, especially when we think of his people, we who have trusted Christ already, is that we continue to seek him. And if you look through the scriptures, you'll see so many scriptures that keep saying how it pleases God when we are seeking him, when we're looking for him. And that's what the shepherds did when they heard this message. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, the busyness isn't over yet from Christmas. But those shepherds were busy too, weren't they? They were in the middle of their work shift or whatever. Maybe they had 24-hour shifts. But they trusted God and they took time. And like I said, I'll be the first to confess there have been too many times where I've allowed the busyness of life or the busyness of ministry to interfere with taking time in his presence. Prayerfully reading his word. Not just reading for study, that's important, or preparation, but meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And saying, oh Lord, as I read this passage today, would you show me something of yourself? And even if I don't see anything that wows me, Lord, use it in my life. Use it throughout the day. Teach me something of yourself. You know, one of the things that please us as people more than anything else is when people ask about us. Good questions. People want to know about us. Now, God is different from us, yes. But he's made it very clear that he is pleased when we want to know him in a deeper and better way. And he chose this group of ordinary people to give an extraordinary message to, because those people listened, believed, and responded and sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we need to help each other like the shepherds. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Maybe we need to encourage each other during fellowship time. Is it a problem in saying, hey, the Lord teach you anything new in your time with him this week? Asking in a very loving way, and then us answering in a very loving way. And if it's no, I was too busy, to say, well, let's pray together. I know what that's like. Let's help each other to seek God, because there's so many things out there that distract us, especially at this time of year. And the Lord has said, if we seek him, we will find him. In Hebrews, it says, if we seek him, there will be great reward. God's gift just keeps giving, doesn't it? You ever see one of those little Russian nesting dolls? Anybody ever see one of them? They're usually shaped like an egg, and on the outside there's a painting of this doll, but you know, you could say, oh, that's neat, I'll put it on the shelf. But if you open it up, there's another one. It's usually a little smaller. And then after that, you open that one up, there's another one. And depending on how big the thing is to begin with, you could have quite a few of these little dolls. Well, God's gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ is one that continues to grow. The difference is that each time we open up the gift of Christ, we find something even bigger and greater. Now, I know physics would tell us that would be impossible, but but it's not impossible for God. I love the way C.S. Lewis had put his description of heaven. His description of heaven is like a book, a great book, in which every chapter is better than the next. And that's what it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we only know that as we seek his face, even as these busy, ordinary shepherds did. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are thankful for your grace and your love and your mercy. And Lord, today, as we think of your sending your only begotten Son to earth as a child, as a baby, entering humanity in the way that we know and understand, Father, help us to even think about that great truth and marvel at your coming from glory down to this sin-laden world. Oh, Father, we pray that this Christmas, and in the days to come, that we may seek your face earnestly, with the expectation of learning more of you and hearing your voice as you speak to us through your word. Lord, we love you. We know we need to grow more in our love for you. We want to please you. But Father, too often we want to please ourselves more than you. Help us in this, Lord. And help us to help one another. Help us to help one another to continue seeking after you, that together we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Just feels like we should end in a song. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Amen.
And a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.